Hey everybody, welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. My name is Devon Miller, one of the correspondents here for Joy on Paper, and today it is my joy to sit in for Patsy, that's with a Z by the way, to be a guest host for today's show. Earlier in the show, I teased that we'd have another children's author on the program. Our second guest is someone who has contributed to over 100 articles for the Huffington Post. They've written a highly acclaimed business book titled The Secret of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. And now they've written a children's book called I Don't Want to Turn 3. Gramps Jeffrey, welcome back to Joy on Paper.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, man, it is delightful to hear your voice. It's so great to have you back on the program, especially to discuss your book, I Don't Want to Turn 3. You know, you've mentioned that it was inspired by your grandkids, and I've seen the wonderful pictures of you reading your book to them. And I just want to know, how does it feel that you have this impact on not just your grandkids, but children in general when it comes to reading and literature?
Well, you kind of think about what are the parents' responsibilities in today's world? You know, what is it that we as parents and grandparents need to do to make these kids better? You know, obviously, we're in charge of making sure they get food and clothing and a place to live, and they provide financial support, medical care, and opportunity to receive an education. But, you know, what else can we do? What else can we do? So, parents are the most influential people for our children. You know, they're the ones that instill honesty, responsibility, kindness, independence, respect, positive thinking, creativity, health and eating exercises, you know, and how they can learn from failure and how to have fun. So, you know, reading to kids is just all part of this process.
Wow, that is amazing. And this story was created during the pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, was it ever a thought to write a children's book one day?
Well, you know, my focus before the pandemic was not on writing a children's book. It was, building businesses and creating opportunities for other people. But when the pandemic hit and everything shut down, you know, I had the opportunity to have all six of my grandkids here at our house for about 6 weeks. So that really gave me a chance to kind of watch them and how they interact and so forth. I got to tell you, what a trip, because all six of these kids had completely different personalities. You know, but the one thing they did have in common was their sense of curiosity and how they accomplish things. And so, you know, watching them grow year to year really is the basis of the book and what gave me the idea that what's happening in my family, because this book is based on a true story, has got to be happening in most families around the world. So that's why I decided to put it down on pen and paper.
It's such a relatable book. It's such a book that everyone can enjoy together that, honestly, a lot of people can take away a lesson from it. What do you hope children and families take away from reading your book?
Well, you know, the real question is, in this book is, at what age do you begin to take responsibility for your actions? Is it 3 years old? Is it 13? Is it 23? You know, I'm a baby boomer, and I got plenty of people 63 years old that still don't take responsibility for their actions. Yeah, so that's really at the heart of the book. Is how does a family, you know, and the mom and dad are very influential in this book, you know, get their children to start taking responsibility for their actions?
Wow, that is amazing. You know, I have to ask, as the children's correspondent of Joy on Paper, and of course, given that the title of the book is I Don't Want to Turn 3, I would love to know, what were some of your favorite children's books to read at that age?
Oh, you know, all the Dr. Seuss books. You know, they really had influence on me because of the rhyming, and it just was a good feeling when I was reading Dr. Seuss or having Dr. Seuss read to me, because, you know, 3 years old, you can't read. At least I couldn't. And so, you know, that really was the biggest influence.
And I imagine, did any of those books when you were three, did that have an influence on I Don't Want to Turn 3?
Well, that had an influence, but, you know, as a baby boomer trying to understand how the world has evolved since I was 3 years old, you know, this is also part of the story. You know, when you think about in my generation or my parents' generation, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have cable TV. We didn't have remotes. I was my dad's remote. He said, son, go change the channel. You know, that's what I was. So life is so different today than it was when I was growing up. So the influence then obviously has influence today, too.
What was one of the most surprising things that you've learned when creating I Don't Want to Turn 3?
One of the most surprising things I learned is that it's necessary for us to teach children how to think. Not what to think, but how to think. If we can lead them in a way to for them to begin to start to think, you know, they're just going to be so much smarter as they grow up. So that was probably one of the most important things to me is, you know, how do we get kids to think and make decisions on their own? Going back to the idea, you know, when do you take responsibility? And so that was probably the most important lesson I learned.
And why do you think it's so important, the lesson that you created in I Don't Want to Turn 3? Why do you think it's so important for children and families to learn about it?
Well, you know, I guess the real crux of this is that families have got to be reading to their children. I mean, you know, with the outside influences that this generation has, you know, as soon as they've come out of the womb, they're exposed to the internet and iPhones and all kinds of electronic things. So it's important for the older generations to offset that great information because, again, I think this is going to be the greatest generation this country has ever produced because, you know, they're getting information as soon as they're born. I didn't get onto the internet until I was 40. So, you know, it is a big, big, big difference. So, but it's important for us as parents and grandparents to get them into the reading habit, because there's all kinds of benefits. I mean, one of the benefits, if you picture you've got a little kid, 3 years old, sitting on your lap, you got them for 20 minutes, you're sitting opening a book, and, you know, obviously there's 100 great books out there. I wanted everybody to buy my book, but obviously there's 100 other great ones out there. To get them, I mean, the first thing that happens is you create a bonding time with children when you're reading with them. You know, it's just a nice time to spend together with you just for 20 minutes to read a book together. Another reason that we should be reading to books to our kids every single night or even during the day is it supports listening skills. Now, you know, you as a radio personality and me as a business guy, we know that the listening skills are our number one skill we have, because the more we listen, you know, the better we can communicate, the better we can sell, the better we can inform people. So, you know, if we can teach kids when they're 2, 3, 4 years old by sitting on our laps, reading a book, you know, how to listen, this is going to pay off for them down the road. You know, another reason we should be reading books to kids, you know, is because of the cognitive and language development that comes out of reading books. There's plenty of words in these books these kids don't understand, so you get a chance to explain them. There's plenty of these words in books I don't understand. I got to go look up. But, you know, it's a way for us to start that whole thing, expanding the variety and number of words that they're able to use. And then another reason is because it creates attention span for those 20 minutes. I mean, 2 and 3, 4-year-old kids, they're bouncing off the wall all day long. If you can get them in your lap and have the key concentration and self-discipline skills, you know, they'll be learned by sitting and reading books. So I encourage all of your listeners to make that effort to go out and get books and read books to their kids, because it's got a lot of learning skills that will help them throughout life.
You know, you mentioned, you know, there's so much you want children and families to take away. What has the response been like for I Don't Want to Turn 3? Have parents come up and been like, oh my goodness, you have helped my children so much with their listening skills? Or have children come up and been like, wow, I've learned so much from you from reading this book?
Well, I think the most important lesson, another lesson, is to question. To you know, again, if we're teaching our children how to think, we need to continue to question them. You know, when you're reading a book, you want to sit down and ask them, even before you pick up the book, what do you think is going to happen in this book? You know, and then as you're reading the book, you want to ask them, who are the characters? Where are the settings? Keep questioning, keep asking kids, you know, because it helps them think. Does anything in this book sound familiar to you? You know, what was your favorite part of this book? So we need to continue to keep asking questions, because if we continue to keep asking questions when they're young, then they will continue to keep asking questions as they grow older.
That is awesome. You mentioned, you know, it's important for children to get into the habit of reading. I'd love to know, do you have any advice for anyone that might be reading your book and they might want to become an author themselves? Do you have any advice for how they might want to get into this business and industry?
That's an interesting question because, you know, either you want to be a writer or you don't want to be a writer. You can't force someone to be a writer. It's got to be a passion. You have to have a passion for this. You know, you have to have a passion for your subject. You have to have a passion to take the time because, you know, you don't write a book in 10 minutes. It takes a good portion of your life to write a book. So, you know, if you're going to write a book, just keep in mind that, you know, you become a role model for others. You know, if you're an author or if you're the star of the book, if you're part of the book, you know, much like parents are the role models for their children. You know, if kids reflect what they see in their parents, especially the 2, 3, 4-year-olds, you know, if you say a cuss word, I guarantee you, you're going to hear the child make a cuss word 3 or 4 more times that day just because they imitate you. You know, and obviously the best way to avoid that is mistake by saying a cuss word. You want to make sure that you follow up with things that they like bananas and dinosaurs and, you know, and movies and things like that. But children imitate you. You know, if you're on your screen all the time, you know, they're going to be on their screen. If you're watching TV, they're going to be watching TV. So make sure that you are an influence for these children. Take them outside and play. Show them to do that. You read a book, so they read a book. So, you know, if you're going to get into being an author and so forth, you know, you've got to be disciplined and be a role model to make sure that what you say is reflected in really, truly what you believe.
Are there any more books coming soon from you?
Well, interestingly enough, I'm working on I Don't Want to Turn 4, but my 9-year-old granddaughter, who was one of the stars of the book Olivia, just turned 9, and she came to me last month, and she says, "Gramps, I got a great idea for our next book." I said, "What is it?" She says, "I don't want to turn 10. I said, "Wait, why don't you want to turn 10? She says, "Well, you know, I'm going to have to learn to drive, and you know, I don't know if I really want to do that. That's another 7 years away. Why are you even thinking about it now?" She says, "And I got to start thinking about picking out a college. I don't know where to go." I said, "That's another 9 years away. Why do you want to think about that?" So she's got the idea of a book. I don't want to turn 10, but when you think about it, there's plenty of other ideas. I don't want to turn 30. I don't want to turn 60. I don't want to turn 80. You know, we all have those moments in our lives where we look back and say, you know, I don't know if I really want to go forward. So that's really the series of books that I'll be attacking next.
That is awesome. It definitely does sound like it can be this long line of children's books for different ages. And it very much does answer this scary question, especially for kids. You know, what will I be like when I'm older? You know, I'm going to be very different. And it definitely, I think these books will definitely help kids understand like what it's like to be a little older and help them to not see that, you know, being older is not so scary.
Yeah, you know, it comes as the glass half full or half empty, and hopefully we are raising a generation that says the glass is half full, let's go forward.
Mm-hmm. How do you find, like, when it comes to the process of writing your stories, I mean, was the process even hard? I mean, how are you able to find the joy when it comes to writing your story on paper?
Well, the joy really comes from the reaction. It happens to be a true story that if you take a look at the book, there are all the pictures are based on photographs that I took, and I sent them to the illustrator, and she made them into more cartoonish looking. But it really was based on the story where, you know, Jordan was taking everybody's toys, and, you know, they didn't know it, and finally they discovered it on his birthday, and Olivia came up with the idea that they should give away all these toys and all his birthday presents and all their toys to the homeless kids downtown. And, you know, that really happened. And so, you know, I think the motivation comes from the story itself. I mean, and then the other motivation is once the book was written, it was fun watching how the kids reacted. Like, for instance, they were all over here about a month ago, and Olivia grabbed one of the books, and she grabbed two of her cousins, and for some reason they went and they hid underneath my desk, and she started reading the book to them. And they didn't know I was over on the side kind of listening, and as she's reading the book, you know, Jackson says, "That's me with my dinosaurs," and Levi says, "That's me in the bathtub." And so you see that, you know, they're involved too because they can relate because it happened to them. So, you know, as you're thinking about writing a book, just kind of keep in mind, how does it affect other people?
And you also brought up the illustrator as well. I mean, what was that process like? Was it hard?
No, it wasn't hard because I had the photographs. So in other words, you know, obviously she used a lot of her imagination to enhance them, but, you know, the cover of the book is Levi and Jackson in the bathtub. That's where they were. That's where they loved to be, you know. Levi loved to wear his goggles, and they loved to play with their sea creatures in the bathtub. I mean, that's the picture. So she took that idea and made it more fun.
That is awesome. And I'd also love to know, how are you further getting the message out there about, like, the lesson you want children and families to learn? I mean, how are you incorporating your books in, you know, initiatives and stuff like that? Or are you?
Well, you know, if any of your listeners want to talk about it, please, I'd love to do it. My email is grampsjeffrey@gmail.com. So if any listeners want to continue the conversation, please email me and we can do that, because obviously it's a message that I want to get out there, but the real message I want to get out there is the grandparents have got to get more involved in the raising of these grandkids. I mean, you know, we're in a generation now where 30% of grandparents are classified as remote, which means, you know, they really aren't involved in their kids, grandkids being raised. I mean, that's one out of every three grandparents. You know, they rarely see their grandchildren. They may have some contact on birthdays or maybe on a holiday. But, you know, their philosophy is, I raise great kids. My kids will take care of my grandkids. I got my own life to live. My mission is to try to get more of those involved because, again, you know, we are the influence that's going to help enhance what these kids are learning online, and we've got to take all the knowledge that we've learned over the last 40, 50 years and implant it so they become the greatest generation that's a well-balanced generation.
Gramps, it has just been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming to Joy on Paper today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I do appreciate the opportunity.
We love having you. And before you go, I just gotta ask. I mean, if anyone wants to follow you along on your journey to keep in touch with all that you're doing, how can they find you?
Oh, you can come to my site, which is GrampsJeffrey at GrampsJeffrey.com, or my other site is IDon'tWantToTurn3.com. Or again, please email me at GrampsJeffrey@gmail.com. They can buy the book, I Don't Want to Turn 3, on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, about 100 other places too. So yes, please keep in touch.
Of course, we definitely will. We love having you back on the show. I Don't Want to Turn 3 is available for purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever else you can get it. Thank you so much, Grams Jeffrey, for coming on again. It's been an absolute blast.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And of course, thank you to everyone so much who has been listening to this episode. It's been such an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you so much to Patsy and everyone here at the radio station. You know, as Patsy always says, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very lucky, your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or series on the Hallmark Channel. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to see previous episodes or keep in the know about future Joy on Paper episodes, be sure to visit our website at radio-joyonpaper.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Joy on Paper. Thank you so much to Patsy for allowing me to guest host today. Thank you so much to Big Ed, who is over in the control room. And of course, thank you to all the wonderful people involved in Joy on Paper who make this program such a joy to be a part of. I hope I was able to provide a little joy in your day today, but we'll see you next time on Joy on Paper. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.